here again. You're welcome to Kolavari Creativity Series. This is a podcast that is focused on exploring the world of creativity and innovation. My name is Zika and I facilitate this podcast. So today we'll be continuing with the summary of the highlights from 2022. The first excerpt talks about don't fall in love with your own ideas. Under that, we had questioning for innovation.
So in the last 1 month, the amount of innovation we've done has taken our business from this level to like this level, just because we were just asking more questions. So you would never have all the answers. In fact, the minute you have all the answers, then there's no business. Really, there's no business. You might as well go and do something else because all the answers are there. The real thing about creating and innovating is that there are too many questions, not enough answers. You want to be the provider of all those answers. So you dig in and find all the answers. And I think that's how you go from idea to full-fledged business.
We also had follow your curiosity, not your passion.
Secondly, while I appreciate going with your passion, and he talked about grow towards the area of your primary passion. Remember, yeah. He mentioned that.
Yeah.
Whilst I appreciate that, but personally, I think the link between purpose and passion with success and fulfillment, I think it's overrated. You hear people say, oh, follow your passion and everything, everything will work out fine. Just follow your passion. Follow your passion.
Mm.
Now, I was listening to a podcast recently. Marcus Buckingham shared some statistics regarding disengagement at work. And the two sectors that had the lowest score with disengagement with in terms of engaged staff. So the staff in these sectors had very low engagement were the healthcare sector and the educational sector.
Mm.
Now, if you put that in perspective of purpose, I don't think there are any other sectors as purposeful as education,
yes.
You understand, or health.
Yeah.
Despite that, employees in those sectors are dissatisfied. Now, what am I driving at? What I'm driving at is that it takes more than just your passion. Or purpose to be fulfilled in life. So we need to put things in context. Yes.
Follow your passion.
I mean, I don't even use the word passion, and I'll tell you why. This is my personal view. With passion, it's about your emotions. And if you're not careful with your emotions, it might lead you down the wrong path. I rather use the word curiosity. I rather follow what I'm curious about. See, because with curiosity, you add a bit of thinking.
Mm.
With curiosity, you are talking about learning.
You're more objective.
You're more objective. You see things from a more objective perspective. Now, with curiosity, you are willing to learn in the process. Because if you follow what you are passionate about and you're not good at that, you'll be frustrated. I remember as a young boy growing up, not just me, most of my classmates in primary school, secondary school, we were all passionate about football. So, but I don't know how many of us pursued football. We didn't have the skill to be footballers. But we're passionate about football because at that time in our lives, football was just the most important thing. But we didn't follow our passion in football. Thank God for that. Okay? My point is that I would rather people pursue what they are curious about because you would learn. And it's learning that makes you fulfill and makes you offer value. Even if you are passionate about something and you offer no value, you might be frustrated. I end my case on that note.
Stepping outside of your idea.
And when I work with first-line supervisors or teachers, I encourage them to get together in groups of three or four or five and have one person bring a situation that they would like insight to. So they present the situation to their colleagues. And then they step outside of the conversation. They're still in the room, but they're no longer managing. And the colleagues talk about the idea in front of them. And then at the end, the person who had the situation says, here's what I'm taking away from your conversation. Because the alternative is, well, I've got this problem. I'm wondering what you think. And now everything that's presented, that person has to respond to. Well, I've already tried that, or I don't think it would work in my classroom, dot, 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 dot. So you want the group to be thinking in front of you, but you are free to just watch and listen. But it's still your conversation, and you get to decide at the end. So there might be things you've already tried. There might be things that you don't think will work. If you express that, it will shut down the conversation. But if you don't have to do anything but just take it in and listen to it, then at the end you can say, and here's what I'm taking away from our conversation. Thank you.
The myth of the well-rounded individual.
No one is well-rounded as an individual. No one exists that is well-rounded. We all have areas where we can always leverage on other people. Now, some of the most successful people that we admire, if you really look at them, they are in fact highly flawed and dysfunctional. And I'll use examples from different areas. So let's look at the one of the greatest writing teams in music, Elton John and Benny Taupin. One of the most successful songwriting team ever in the history of music. Elton John cannot write lyrics. Benny Taupin cannot write melodies. So individually, both of them have flaws. But as a team, collaboration, as a team, almost perfect. Let's look at Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is so one-footed. There's something that is called the ratio of your strong foot to your right foot. It means that for every time you use your strong foot compared to your right foot. So for Lionel Messi, it's 10 to 1. So it means that Lionel Messi uses his right foot once for every 10 times he uses his left foot. Yeah. So let's understand that for Ronaldo, it's 4.5 to 1. So Ronaldo uses his left foot once for every 4.5 times. So in a way, Lionel Messi is flawed because he over relies on his left foot. And the tendency when we focus on trying to make people rounded is that we try to make them less dependent on that thing that we say it's a flaw and make them become more rounded. So you want to make Lionel Messi use more of his right foot because you're trying to make him well-rounded. But you know, what makes Lionel Messi Lionel Messi is his left-footedness.
His aberration, yes.
You understand? His left-footedness.
Yeah.
So the more you try to walk on his right foot, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, you take away something out of Lionel Messi.
His uniqueness.
His uniqueness.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example in football. There's a footballer called Andre Pirlo. I think over the last 20 years, if you want to name the top five midfielders in the world, he's definitely going to be there. He's what you call a deep line playmaker. He plays from the deep. He sits just in front of the defense. Now, you need several skills to play that part. One, you need to be very comfortable on the ball and ability to pass. But you also need to be physically strong so that you can help your defenders. You also need to be able to track back and, you know, mark other players. But outside of his ability to pass, Andre Pirlo is poor with his... He doesn't run very fast. He's not physically strong. So he has huge flaws as a deep-lying playmaker. Mm. But when you want to name the top midfielders that had played in the last 15, 20 years, you will name him. Now, the reason that was that for club side and national team, he had somebody who played alongside him, Rino Gattuso. Gattuso had the strength of like two people. So he compensated for whatever flaws Andre Pirlo had, whether it was his ability to track back, his ability to run, his ability to mark other people. Gattuso had enough strength for two people. So as a pair, they were just exceptional. Mm. But individually, if you look at Andrea Pirlo and Gattuso, they had so many flaws.
Yeah.
My point is that you do not need to be rounded in everything to be successful. You do not need that. That's why you have a team.
Foundations for being remarkable.
And so if I say, here's what I want you to take away from the training. Number one, it's possible to be really, really good at almost anything that you want to put in the time and effort. The easiest way to change behavior is to change your perspective. That's it. And effective people, if they're not looking forward to something, they change their perspective. They also read and expose themselves to people, and they travel. Why? So the perspectives keep getting upgraded. So perspective is everything. Within that, there are two perspectives I want you to get. One is treat everything like it matters. Treat conversation like it matters. Treat taking care of yourself like it matters. Treat the people you live with like it matters. Treat meetings like it matter. If you do that, you will be remarkable because nobody else is. Then the second thing, in terms of perspectives, I want you to be responsible for it all. I want you to be responsible for everybody's experience of being with you. I want you to be responsible for making the homework. So perspective. Conversation. Conversation matters, and most people aren't paying attention. Within that, it's listening, being attentive. Being present, and the six fields of distraction. So you have to start to managing the world of distraction that is constantly taking you away from being present. Other theme, relationships. There are seven key ideas about relationship. The first one being, all relationships are a set of conversations. You can look at the last five conversations, that's your relationship. Another idea is relationships are always in the process of running down, eroding. They need attention. They need time. Focus. You got the be here now part of focus. But the other thing is effective people are clear about what they're about today, the next 2 weeks, and the next 100 days. They have absolute clarity about today, the next 2 weeks, and the next 100 days. And then the last piece in this theme of how to be remarkable is to be fully aware of the way human beings are designed to get defensive. Without that awareness, it's difficult to hold on to the attitude that people are great. So what I say is people are complex. Their lives are complicated. And you don't know what's going on for that person who's sitting in front of you.
So much from that last excerpt.
Yeah.
For me, the 3 points that stood out the most. One, be aware that people are designed to be defensive. Two, the easiest way to change behavior is to change perspective. And three, all relationships are a set of conversations.
We also launched a Kolavare Work series and had our intro episode and our pilot episode. We talked about, is the 5-day work week best practice in Nigeria? So now let's go back to best practices.
Yeah.
It seems like you have an issue with that word or that term.
Yes, I do. I have an issue with the term best practice. And I'll tell you why. The problem I have with best practice is generalization.
Mm.
By this, I mean that common properties of specific instances are formulated as general concepts. And that's not always true. What works best in one context does not mean it will work in a different
context.
Now, so back to the 5-day work week. A 5-day work week certainly does not look like best practice anymore because of the stress of moving around in a city like Lagos compared to some cities in the US or in Europe. Now, I think a 5-day work week in Lagos without some form of hybrid option has turned into a detrimental practice, not a best practice.
Very true, actually. And why bad workplace practices thrive? So why do bad best practices thrive?
An interesting question. I would reference a TEDx talk that I watched titled Corporate Viruses and Bad Management Practices by a professor at London Business School. I hope I pronounced his name well. Frik Vermeulen. And he gave three reasons why bad management practices thrive over a long period. The first reason is that they offer short-term benefits. It's the truth. They offer short-term benefits. And I'll use an example. Let's look at the issue of downsizing or layoff. It's become a management practice. If you are having financial issues as a company, the first thing to do is to reduce your staff strength. It makes sense in the short term. It does. You take away your the OPEX from your employees, you know, you take it away and you have more money. The workload that is left, you distribute among the remaining employees. So it has short-term benefits. Okay? So that's one. Secondly, there is difficulty in understanding the relationship between cause and effect. In terms of the harm that those practices cause in the long run. So people are unable to appropriate the fact that some of the challenges that they are having now could be linked to some of those practices that they implemented years ago. So let's take this issue of downsizing. Now, there is research, not just from several people that have shown that there are long-term consequences of downsizing. There's research on that. There was one that was done by researchers at Stockholm University and the University of Canterbury. They found that after a layoff, survivors at the companies experienced a 41% decline in job satisfaction. Now, over a period, that decline in job satisfaction will do harm to that company. But it won't happen immediately. It happens over a long time. So because of that lack of clarity in relating the effect to an implementation of a bad best practice, so people do not know that those practices are what's causing their problem, and they continue with those best practices. Three, these practices are easy to implement, and therefore they spread like wildfire. I mean, so to implement layoff on downsizing is not rocket science. It's very easy.
Yeah.
If you are experiencing cash issues at the company, fire 50 employees. It's very easy to implement. So these are some of the reasons why some of these bad practices, even though there is research to show that they are bad, people are still implementing them.
Thank you for listening to this compilation episode. This podcast is produced and edited by Joshua Praise, and the soundtrack is an original music by Justo Christos, and our poster is being designed by Faith Folaring and Joseph Okafor. As always, have a very creative week.